California Regional Water Quality Control Board, Mahan Region, to consider adopting four different administrative civil liability orders listed in the board agenda as items 5 to 8. The board will proceed with a separate hearing for each proposed order that a party wishes to testify on. The order of presentation for each hearing will be as follows. First, testimony by Water Board Prosecution Team. Second, testimony by the discharger. Third, presentations by interested parties. And motion 30. All persons who wish to participate and have not yet submitted an appearance card are requested to do so now. And you must note which agenda item you wish to speak on. This hearing will not be conducted according to the technical rules of evidence. The board will accept any testimony that is reasonably relevant to the matter under consideration. The chair may impose reasonable time limits and may require groups to choose a single spokesperson. We ask each person testifying to come to the lectern to speak. Please begin by stating your name, address, and whom you represent. All persons who expect to testify, please stand and raise your right hand to take the following oath. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony which you will give in this matter is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Now I call for the prosecution team.
So are we just doing a general presentation first and then each, or how do we want to?
I'd like to do just, for the record, my name's Scott Ferguson with the Lahont Water Board staff. Plan on giving a single presentation for all four items.
Okay.
And can everybody hear me, or do I need the mic? Good.
First, in the back, can you hear it?
Is it left or right ear?
Good afternoon, board members. My name is Scott Ferguson. I'm a senior water resource control engineer on your staff. I'm also the supervisor of the Enforcement and Special Projects Unit. This afternoon, I have a brief presentation regarding agenda items 5 through 8, where you are considering imposing administrative civil liabilities against four property owners who own property in the Spalding Tract subdivision, which is located on the west shore of Eagle Lake in Lassen County. These four property owners have, and in some cases continue, to violate cease and desist orders this water board adopted back in 2009. Those cease and desist orders required the property owners to comply with a basin plan prohibition for the Eagle Lake Basin by either connecting their on-site wastewater disposal system to a community wastewater system or by properly abandoning it. For a little perspective and history lesson here, the basin plan prohibition that's in play here was adopted back in 1984 by this board in an effort to protect the unique water quality and environment of Eagle Lake. It has had the additional benefit of protecting the Spalding Tract community's drinking water source, the groundwater, from bacterial contamination. Staff, as you are looking forward to the day when we can all achieve the goal of full compliance with this basin plan prohibition and thus provide a significant level of protection for Eagle Lake. This day is within reach, and your prosecution team believes that your decisions today will have a major effect on how efficiently we can move towards that goal and how soon we can achieve it. Later in my presentation, I will ask for your assistance in meeting that goal in an efficient manner and the water quality protection that comes with it. But first of all, I want to bring you up to date on the compliance status of the four property owners that are at issue today. Ms. Winters has brought her property into compliance with her cease and desist order and the basin plan prohibition since your July 2012 board meeting, where these matters were first brought before you for your consideration. Mr. Neal has brought two additional properties into compliance since the July board meeting. This now gives him a total of four properties that he has brought into compliance since the prosecution team issued administrative civil liability complaints in April 2012. Mr. Neal still has two properties that remain out of compliance with the 2009 CDOs and in violation of the basin plan prohibition. He has informed us about a month ago, verbally, that he intends to abandon the on-site wastewater disposal systems on those two properties, but he has yet to do so, and so at this time, he remains out of compliance and in violation of the CDOs. Mr. Neal is also representing the Nanco Inc. property. This property, too, remains out of compliance with the cease and desist order and basin plan prohibition. Again, about a month ago, Mr. Neal informed staff that he intends to abandon the on-site system, but to date, he has yet to do so and remains out of compliance with the cease and desist order and the basin plan prohibition. Finally, Mr. Robinson owns two commercial properties within the Spalding Tract subdivision. He, too, remains out of compliance with the basin plan prohibition and the cease and desist orders on those properties. However, we've been in contact with his contractor, who has informed us that they are making progress towards connecting both properties to the community system, and if everything remains on schedule, the contractor anticipates completing this process by sometime next week around October 17th. So that brings us up to date on compliance status, and it brings us to our recommendations for imposing liability. We have updated our recommended liabilities since the July board meeting to reflect changes in compliance status. For properties that have come into compliance, we are recommending a liability that is based on 1.1 times the economic benefit associated with the cease and desist order violations, plus the staff cost of $990 for issuing the ACL complaint back in April 2012. That gives us a set of liabilities for compliant properties that range from a little above $1,000 per property to a little over $1,300 per property. Excuse me. For those properties that have yet to come into compliance, we are recommending the liability amount that was originally proposed in the ACL complaints. That is $16,490 per property that remains out of compliance with the cease and desist orders. Now, I would like to respectfully ask that you keep two key factors in mind when you're making your decisions today. The first one is we still have 25 to 30 properties in the Spalding subdivision that are continuing to violate the basin plan prohibition. We have made significant progress, starting with over 600 properties, so we are in the home stretch of achieving our goal of total compliance with less than 5% of the properties in the Spalding Tract remaining in violation. However, to efficiently finish this job, we're going to need your help to bring the remaining group of non-compliant property owners into compliance. Staff believes that the majority of the remaining property owners who continue to violate either their 2009 CDOs, and there's a handful that have yet to be brought before you, their 2011 CDOs, and we have 10 or more of those, and then we have a handful of properties that have yet to even start the CDO ACL process that continue to violate basin plan prohibition. We believe that they will come into compliance without further enforcement action if an adequate incentive is created to do so. And that's where I'm asking for your assistance. The prosecution team is asking that you create that adequate incentive by imposing our recommended liabilities. We believe that without an adequate incentive, achieving our goal of compliance with the Basin Plan prohibition and protection of Eagle Lake's unique water quality, that it will take much longer to do so. It will take much more of our limited resources to complete this task. And it will prevent your staff and yourselves from realizing and working on other priorities that this board would like to move on. So that's where I'm asking for your assistance. The second factor that we would like you to keep in mind is that the Lahontan Water Board and its staff have been extremely patient and accommodating in its efforts to protect the unique water body of Eagle Lake, its unique water quality, and the Spalding Tract community's drinking water supply. This effort started back in the early 1980s, preparing to adopt the Basin Plan prohibition. It has also included multiple enforcement actions and patience and restraint on this board's part while the community designed, financed, and constructed its own community wastewater treatment system. That process took almost 20 years to complete. The community has now had 5 complete construction seasons with an operational community wastewater system. That's 5 complete construction seasons. It's had the ability to come into compliance with your Basin Plan prohibition. More recently, this board showed additional patience during its July 2012 meeting when it granted the 4 property owners additional time, or it postponed its final decision regarding the 4 property owners that were originally brought before you in July. Postponed the final decision on them, granting additional time to comply. And in some cases, the property owners took full advantage and came into compliance. In other cases, they did not, and they remain out of compliance with your cease and desist orders and Basin Plan prohibitions. So at this point, to assist staff in what needs to be a very efficient and hopefully final enforcement effort, the community needs to hear the message that this board is serious and its staff is serious about bringing the remaining non-compliant property owners into compliance. Those that have complied should know that their efforts were not in vain, that a select group of people, property owners, are not going to get away with something that the compliant property owners had to do, that all property owners in the Spalding Tract subdivision will be held accountable. And the non-compliant property owners need to know and hear the message that there are serious consequences to continuing their non-compliant behavior. Staff believes that imposing the recommended liabilities will provide that message, will create an adequate incentive to comply, and will result in a very efficient and final enforcement effort, one that will meet our goals of protecting Eagle Lake's unique water quality and this community's drinking water supply. That completes my presentation, and if you have any questions, I'm here to answer them. Yes.
So at this time, the enforcement staff does plan to bring enforcement proceedings against the remaining properties, 25 property properties, is that correct?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Can you characterize, let me ask this question. How much staff time does it take? To prepare each one of these enforcement proceedings?
It ranges, and I don't have a specific like number of hours. On average, for this set of ACLs that were brought before you, just to get the ACL complaints out, which for what was originally 25 properties, we figure it was about $25,000 of staff costs.
For total?
Well, just to get the complaints out. We have not done a tally on how much time we have spent to prepare for these hearings. In additional time, it's a very similar process to prepare cease and desist orders, in that we find ourselves conducting a formal public hearing, producing documentation well ahead of the meeting, and that takes a significant amount of time.
Are there any other options to enforce compliance, working with the county or the sewer district or something
This is basically, it's the regional board's basin plan prohibition that's in play here. The wastewater district is providing a ready-made option to comply. The county has been very cooperative in providing the inspections and documentation to verify that septic systems have been abandoned per county regulations. But it's not the district's regulation, it's not the county's regulation, it's our regulation that we are enforcing here. I think our partners that are out there on the periphery have done what they can do.
Is it possible to put a lien on the property if it changes ownership? And at that time, you know, the property has to be in compliance?
I don't know if we can use the term lien, and I usually think financial with liens. What we've done in a couple of situations is we have issued the liability, imposed the liability, and when it has not been paid, we can go through the process of getting a lien on the property. I don't know what if there is a process for us putting in some kind of condition upon sale that the property has to be brought into compliance. But in the meantime, if that was the case, and many of these properties have been under the same ownership for years and years and years, still available to be, those wastewater systems would still be available for use. Whether it's someone bringing an RV up and popping open the septic tank and discharging to it, or they can bring up a trailer or whatever, those systems are still available for discharging.
Right. Well, a number of the properties that we're seeing as we've gone through this process and we're getting to the last remaining ones seem to be properties that, you know, have been in the family for a long time, but for various reasons the family hasn't been coming up there, and they're not even really aware of what is on the property. And I mean, so I'm just wondering if these last 25 to 30, really how much of a threat they pose to Eagle Lake, or if they're more in the category of properties that families aren't using.
We've heard those arguments from people that have also complied. I mean, we've gotten a number of phone calls for the past several years going,
I'm asking you to characterize the remaining 25.
I don't know specifically how much use they get. If it's just coincidence that we've heard more of those stories, you've seen more people since we've taken this enforcement action come before you. So I think you're hearing more of those stories just because they're coming up. They've definitely been pushed. And it's been through the ACL process that we're bringing many of these people finally to compliance. They know that we've been here. It's not the first time that they've heard of us. The 2009 CDOs were not the first time that they had heard of us. We had issued opportunities for them to communicate with us back in 2008 before we issued the 2009 CDOs. It issued CDOs in 91.
Right.
So this has been a long, ongoing process.
I understand that. But, I mean, we did have the example where a renter was receiving Lahontan's letters and not passing them on to the owner. There'd been a change because of a death in the family and an inheritance. I mean, so, you know, there have been communication problems on the other side, you
yes.
know, that have made it difficult for people to come into compliance or to understand what the obligation, their obligation was. So I'm just kind of wondering if those kinds of situations might exist with the remaining.
I think there will be a handful of those, yeah. as with any community. I think there's a handful of property owners out there that are just ready to dig their heels in. And I think there's also a significant, the majority of the people that once they see that this board's going to come through and see this all the way through, that they will come to the table and comply voluntarily at this point. I mean, with being pushed in the back, but prior to us having to issue ACL complaints.
Mr. Sandel,
Are any of these five properties occupied? Those, do they have structures? Or are they, vacant, are they lots with a septic system?
The three remaining Neal prop, or two, I'm sorry, the two remaining Neal properties, so midway in the,
yeah.
down the table,
the first
those do not have any structures, and that's why he plans on abandoning them. Same thing with Namco. So no structure.
So there's three, okay.
Those are three, yes.
And then the,
the other, Robinson has commercial, there's a lodge, motel, restaurant. On those properties.
Okay.
So those are the commercial properties.
Are they open?
No, they've been closed, I believe, since 2006.
Thank you.
Mr. Pratt?
Do we have any sense of the value of the property of the unoccupied parcels?
I believe that was let me see.
Is that something
that was
properly remembering?
Well, I know that was provided in our July
okay.
agenda package for the property values of the properties we need them to own in California, of all property owners that were before you.
Okay, I don't think that's not exactly my question.
You want to know what the lot is worth that has a septic
right, system. Right, yeah, what I'm looking for is to find out whether or not the penalty that
okay.
We're proposing or could propose or could consider to impose exceeds the value of the property itself.
Okay.
In which case, I don't think you're creating much of an incentive to do anything but walk away. But I don't want to just speculate on that or imagine that that might be a consideration if even if you had some ballpark gut feeling of what is one of these unoccupied lots worth up there.
Let me put one here.
And maybe I can extrapolate.
Just one moment, please. Okay.
Well, it's hard to tell what's what.
I'll pick one of the Neal properties that doesn't have a septic tank or doesn't have a structure on it.
Okay.
Slated for abandonment. I'm just trying to. So that would be 16306.
Here we go.
Okay, so Mr. Neal owns a property that it's the last one on his list of properties, APN 077-16306. And I have an assessed property value here of $98,344.
Okay, thank you.
Some of them, one is as low as.
I'd say
$5,400.
Yeah, but that's in El Dorado County. That's not.
Right.
That's a different location.
Why is it in this table?
Because these are all the properties that he owns throughout California.
Oh,
so it's
right.
what the prosecution team was offering to show his ability to pay.
Oh,
right.
I see. All right.
Got it.
So then
thank you, that's really helpful. Appreciate that.
So one in Lassen County is $9,100.
Which one are you looking at? Oh, I see the
9995770411.
But that is not one that is subject to liability in this case.
Why not?
Because it's somewhere else in Lassen County. It's not within the Spalding subdivision.
Okay.
These were all the properties within
California. Right, I understand.
California.
I mean, it doesn't tell me in this table which ones are in Spalding.
No, it doesn't.
Just so.
Chuck Curtis, supervising engineer for the Water Board. That one property, Dr. Horn, it has a 999 prefix to the ATM. Mm-hmm. That's not a property itself. That's likely a structure, a pump, a well, something like that that has that type.
Yeah, well, what I'm interested in is knowing which of these are in the Spalding tract.
Basically, the ones with anything with 077, starting with 077, we believe to be in Spalding Tract.
Oh, okay. So some of these that have NA on them are in the Spalding Tract.
And the NA is just the property address. And
so there's one as low as $10,000.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. The ones with the, I mean, we could probably relatively quickly go through or take a break and I could highlight which ones that are in the recommendation table and find their associated property values.
The Neal's last two remaining properties that are not...
Can you identify yourself quickly for the record?
Doug Smith, here on staff of the Water Board Advisory Team.
Okay, go ahead.
The last two Neal's properties that are not in compliance, it's at property address on the Strand Way, 688 to 150, that's the third one down. And then the fifth one down, 687 to 765 Redwood Way. Those are the two remaining properties not in compliance. In this table, the first six, starting from the top, are the ones that are subject to the ACL.
Thank you.
Further questions? I have a question from council.
So, we heard at the July hearing that the enforcement policy doesn't allow us to do a suspended liability where we would fine them but reduce the fine based on compliance. So
yes.
Here, even if we do fine them the maximum amount, it doesn't necessarily mean that they'll come into compliance.
No.
And so then what would be our next steps if they still weren't in compliance?
We can keep upping the ante. And if the property owners have yet to come into compliance, continue to non-compliance, then I would look to see them again with another ACL complaint for additional liabilities.
And then previously you had said to Dr. Horn that you weren't aware that the county had any ability to leverage compliance.
Correct.
So the county doesn't have any sort of ordinance that requires that they hook up to the community service district?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, because a lot of counties would have that sort of
yes.
ordinance. And is there any sort of financial incentive for the district to have these people hook up?
No, people are already, that's what's an interesting fact. Everybody up here on the list, they've already been paying their assessment, and they're paying monthly maintenance, operation and maintenance fees to the district, even though they're not connected. That's just part of how the package was put together by the community and the district. So they're paying for a service that they're not realizing.
So the $4,000 that you guys had identified in the complaints as being the avoided cost, the $4,000, is that a fee that they paid to the district?
No, that's the average cost associated with paying a contractor to come in look at your septic tank, get it approved, or replace it if it needs to be, and connecting that new septic tank to the community system.
Okay, so that's not any
that
sort of
pure, it's just pure okay. construction costs.
Okay.
And materials.
Then I had one more question for you. Oh, so the your attachment E, so the bend data input and the bend result. So are we looking at these now as...
Is that the base stamp on it?
I'm sorry, it's the memorandum that's in the materials that was provided
okay.
recently, the dated October 5th. It's from Lori Kemper to Patty, and on the back is, on the last page, it has new recommended amounts for...
It should be the same as
up on the board.
Same
slide, yes. So the so now you guys are looking at the these are essentially delayed cost. It seemed previously you were looking at them as avoided costs.
No, if they've come into compliance, we've looked at them as delayed cost. If
okay.
they have yet to come into compliance, yes, they're run through as avoided. I believe that's how it is.
Now, why would it be avoided? Because, I mean, they still have to come into compliance.
But they have yet to do something.
Up to the moment.
Right, but I thought avoided costs are costs that you don't have to do again.
Oh, wait, excuse me. I'm sorry. It would still be, I believe, the time cost. Because if it was an avoided cost, it would be straight $4,200
right.
change.
Right.
So it is still looking at a delayed cost picking a certain
okay.
date
right.
to run the analysis through.
Right, because it seemed previously you guys had identified, well, I don't think you said it, but they came across as being avoided costs.
No, they are supposed to be. It is all, if you look at the numbers and stuff,
it's delayed.
It's all delayed costs.
Okay.
Picking a date.
And so I don't suppose that you guys had prepared any amendments to the orders reflecting these changes that you're proposing?
No.
Okay. All right. I don't have any other questions.
I just want to make sure I understood any responses to council's questions. If I understand what you said correctly, then we could resolve the two matters today which are expected or hoped or fingers crossed to be actually taken care of and finished next week. We could resolve those on the basis of them having been, on the basis of our expectation that they will be compliant within 10 days or so of today's date. And if they do not achieve compliance within, say, this year's construction schedule or construction window, we can file against them again. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so we could actually bring resolution today to all of these matters without losing jurisdictionally.
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you.
Mr. Gibbs.
Scott, I'm sorry, but could you please go over again how you arrived at the numbers in the highlighted blue column?
Yes. So what the enforcement policy tells us to do is, in part, is that liability should cover economic benefit plus 10% so that these violations aren't just cost of doing business. So what we did was we came up with the economic benefit, multiplied it by 1.1, so that's at 10%, on top of it. Then we added it to our staff cost of $990 that we attributed to issuing each of the ACL complaints back in April. So you take this value, multiply it by 1.1, add 990, and you should come up with this.
And I would just add, essentially, that economic benefit, that $75 or $304, is the interest that you would get on that money.
Time value of the money.
So because it's $836, so over, I guess you used the November 11th time period. I'm not sure what date you went back to figure that, but it's essentially the interest that you would earn on that money.
Well, how about the higher numbers for those who have not come into compliance? Did you arrive at the $16,490 in the same
one? We did that running it, well, we've run, yes. We, the $16,490, which were our original recommendations back in July for all non-compliant properties, that's where we went through the enforcement methodology, or the ACL methodology, and spelled out in the enforcement policy, considered all the factors, and we took in the other factors as justice may require, and that's all written out in our write-up, and that's the value that we came out with.
And yet, your recommendation includes a provision to drop the ACL, those non-compliant owners, down to the figures in the far right-hand column if they come into compliance by 31 December?
What we did with the values in this column here, these represent, these are for the properties that have yet to come into compliance. But this is what, assuming that they came into compliance by the end of the year, this would be 1.1 times the economic benefit plus $990. So this is what it spells out for them. The first three, it's assuming that they do abandon, as it says, plans to abandon, and these two, plans to connect.
Well, if we were to follow your recommendation and the non-compliant owners did achieve compliance, let's say in the middle of December, would this issue have to come back to the board, or would the ACLs, could we take an action now that would impose the ACLs in the far right column?
Well, you have two options, and I'll explain why we came up with these. Just to be clear, prosecution team staff's recommendation is everything in the blue column.
Oh.
Right now. We, based on what happened at the July board meeting, we thought there might be a possibility that the board would like to see, well, we have some movement afloat, we've seen progress from the property owners, maybe on the assumption that they will continue to take steps to come into compliance, that the board might be interested in looking at what would be basically the equivalent of these, basically treating them as compliant properties with our fingers crossed that they do in fact come into compliance. That's why we came up with these values. It's not our recommendation, but it is an option, and once again, we were looking back at how things went at the board meeting in July and thought that this might be information the board found valuable, but we're recommending the blue column.
Okay.
Straight
thank
out.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
No further questions?
I have a question. I'm sorry. With respect to the Robinson properties, where they've given you this possible completion date, is all that information coming to you from Mr. Robinson, from a Robinson person?
No, that's actually coming from his contractor. We've been in direct contact with it.
Okay.
Who has been, based on the information they've provided to us in the past, it's been straightforward and honest.
Whereas, with respect to Mr. Neal's two properties and the Nanco property, that's the property owner himself with no supporting information and any steps have actually been taken to realize the plan.
With Mr. Neal, it has been direct communication with him on the phone. He has brought two properties into compliance since the July meeting, and we're relying upon his word at this point that he's going to abandon the septic systems on the remaining three.
And when you say his representations that he's going to abandon, and I see that you sort of plugged in this 12/31 date, is that your date, or did he actually represent to you that he would have abandonment completed by that time?
That is our date.
And did he make any actual representation to you at all with respect to when abandonment would be completed?
Not that I'm aware. One thing I'll point out is also in your packages, the memorandum that was sent from Lori Kemper to Patty, there is correspondence. The contractor that's working with Mr. Robinson has also been working with Mr. Neal.
To do the connections.
To do the connections.
Right.
And for Mr. Neal, there's a email in there where the contractor says on September 13th, we did forward estimates to Mr. Neal for the abandonment, have not heard anything.
Right.
Our staff was in touch with Mr. Neal, I believe, on September 18th. And that's the latest we've been had actual conversations.
So between July's, hearing here in July and today's date, Mr. Neal was actually successfully able to do the two connections of the two properties in question.
Right.
But with respect to the abandonment, he just has a proposal on the table, which apparently he has not acted on.
That's what, based on what we have, yes.
Yes.
Scott, I've got a question on attachment D of your late edition. It's on those emails.
Mm-hmm.
So you received an email from Tammy Leroy, who's the contractor.
Yes.
Regarding the Robinson property, it mentioned that, okay, so Robinson has two properties. One is the Lakeview in tank, and the other one is the Osprey Lodge.
Yes.
So in this email, it says that the Lakeview in tank will be pumped earliest available on Thursday, which was Thursday, October 4th. So they said that they will start work on Friday.
Yes.
So have you received any information from them saying that they have done that?
We have not.
You have not. Have you or your staff made any calls or attempted to call to find out if any of that's been done?
We have not followed up asking where they are.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it's that email. Is that the same email that also says they anticipate being done by the 17th?
That email says that since there's two properties.
Right.
That, they state that the Lakeview tank should be done by October 10th. And then the other one, the subsequent email on October 3rd, says that the Osprey Lodge tank would be done by October 17th.
It actually says both. The October 3rd email, that's part of attachment B at the top of it, was an update to the October 2nd email, which is below it. And what it says in the second sentence is, so we should be done with both of Gary Robinson's properties by October 17th. There was on October 2nd, it was unclear when the delivery of the new septic tank for the one property was going to, what it was. On October 3rd, they found out, and provided that the tank was delivered on time, they planned on being done by the 17th.
But the October 3rd email is specifically about the Osprey Lodge tank.
No.
It talks about this, put it this way, the Osprey Lodge, and what's the other
one? And then the Lakeview Inn tank.
The Lakeview Inn tank was passed test. It satisfied the test, so they did not have to replace that one. The tank for the Osprey Lodge needed to be replaced and had to be delivered. So that October 3rd one is bringing us up to date on the delivery date for the new tank for Osprey Lodge. And then it follows up with, we should be done with both Robinson Properties, so Lakeview and Osprey, by October 17th.
I'd say this is ambiguous regarding the Lakeview intake, because it does not say, October 3rd email does not say that we will not be done with the Lakeview intake on October 10th, as we told you in the previous email. It does not say that. So it's ambiguous about the Lakeview intake. This is killing Peter, I can tell.
No, actually, my back is killing me. You guys haven't even begun to irritate me yet.
Okay, well, you've answered my question.
Okay. Any further questions?
I guess I have one. Would be so the dates that are on the far right column, the for those that you're recommending, the 16,000, but then you provided these the economic benefit plus staff costs in the far right column. What would you propose that we do with those? Because if we issued them as a fine at this point, but they didn't come into compliance, I mean, yeah. We don't have the ability to do what we would want to do with those, or...
Well, again, made it clear, our recommendation is the blue column. However, if the board wants to use those values in the far right column, the way those would be used, in my opinion, would be the board would adopt ACL orders imposing those, assuming that these property owners were going to get the job done. If the property owners go, yeah, I got more time, and they dilly-dally around, and let's say in the board order you say, provided they come into compliance by the end of the year, we'll take no further enforcement. I mean, that's an option that you could craft into the order. If they meet that, we're done. If they decide not to comply and we go into the new year, you still have the ability to come back. And we would intend on coming back with a new ACL complaint with additional liabilities for that violation, those violations. You're not, I don't see, if they don't comply, I don't see your action today, even if you use these lower numbers on the assumption they're going to comply. If they don't comply, I don't see you losing any ability regarding your enforcement options.
Good afternoon, board. My name is Lori Kemper, for the record. I'm the assistant executive officer and chief of our prosecution team, and I just want to address this issue about, you know, future enforcement actions and what you're looking at today. Remember that the ACL orders in front of you they cover a period of violation that has already occurred. We are recommending penalties to you today for a period of violations that has already occurred and ended prior to the July board meeting. These new orders do not, even the orders that you craft today, we are not recommending that you add in the additional days of violation that have occurred since July. We are asking you to impose penalties associated with a past period of violation. And we feel that the recommendations in the blue column are appropriate at this time. If you choose to go with this notion that these remaining properties that are out of compliance are going to come into compliance and you want to acknowledge a good faith effort because those properties have made some effort to come into compliance, then what Scott's suggesting is another option for you to consider, and then you would impose those complaints. I just wanted to let you know that as our enforcement team, we are looking at considering future enforcement actions, you know, about a year from now. So in other words, we would be giving people time, and this gets back to some questions that Dr. Horn asked about some of the properties that may not be in compliance today and are not before you. We are looking at giving people ample time to get the work done. We don't want to impose additional liabilities. We don't intend to, on January 1st, start crafting an ACL complaint, even for these property owners if they were still not in compliance. But what we would do is we would use your action today to inform the remaining property owners of the board's action, of the board's enforcement, of the board's basically pushing and making people accountable for compliance. We would use that information to try to inspire people to step forward and spend $1,000 to abandon a tank that's been sitting there for years that they've known about. It's not a huge effort, and even those properties that aren't worth that much or they haven't been to, it's not a huge effort. We would encourage people to do that. And then a year from now, we would be taking another look and deciding who's still not doing anything. You know, and we would be looking at maybe not a year, maybe next summer, but we would basically do a check-in to see how are people doing, and then we would bring back new enforcement actions for the board's consideration. And we would be looking at a period of violation. For these property owners, we'd be looking at a period of violation since July, and for any of the other property owners, we'd be looking at, you know, the whole period of violation.
Dr. Horn.
So, I mean, I'm just trying to think about fairness across the board here. So for the 25 to 30 properties that have not come before us yet, is the clock ticking on them now? Did it start from the same date as the ones that are in front of us today?
They're not the same. They're not exactly the same, and the reason for that has to do with notice and also the fact that, okay, you've had a basin plan prohibition in effect since 1984. It's in 1989, all that.
You don't need
okay.
That.
The reason you asked before, Amy, about like are these homes, are these houses, are there structures, are there people living there? The group, okay, of the 30, there is a subset of the 30 where we need to issue new cease and desist orders. And the reason we need to issue new cease and desist orders is because property ownership has changed. Cease and desist orders are not attached to a parcel. They are attached to an individual, to a property owner. So when property ownership changes, even though the previous property owner had been under a cease and desist order for 10 years, that it starts over with a new property owner, and it requires this board to adopt a cease and desist order on the new property owner. So a subset of those 25 to 30 properties are new owners, and we don't have the facts in front of us today to tell you whether those are four-bedroom homes or a trailer or a shed or what. So that's a whole new ballgame, and I would suggest that subset, we can move forward on cease and desist orders sooner than, say, coming to you with penalties, just to try to get this level playing field, get them under the same sort of order if they haven't currently complied. You know? And they'd obviously have an opportunity to come into compliance even before that cease and desist order is imposed.
Right.
Okay. Then the remaining that are in the boat of they've been under a cease and desist order, we just haven't brought a penalty, some of that related to noticing issues or not, basically not being able to find people because maybe their address changed, that sort of thing. So those folks, we would intend to notify the entire group of the board's action today to help inspire action, no matter what, and we would obviously have a couple different camps in terms of how we would proceed on future enforcement actions. So the ones that are new property owners have a two-step process, cease and desist order then.
Right. So for the ones that where there are noticing issues, is the clock ticking on them at the
yes.
same rate as
almost the same rate. Again, the cease and desist order's adoption date may have been slightly different than the cease and desist order adoption date on these individuals because if we had trouble notifying them when we got to the cease
and
desist.
But it's approximate.
They're in the same
ballpark. Yeah,
okay.
Okay, Mr. Humphrey.
I have a couple. I think I'm just having trouble tracking here a little bit, so bear with me. The five properties that are blank on the far right column, they're all in compliance now.
Correct.
Would they have similar numbers to those where we're assuming they're going to go into compliance? I'm assuming that the $1,072 would be sort of approximately appropriate for the Neil property that is 77-361-2311, which is in compliance, doesn't have a recommendation. I'm trying to line up your recommendations in the blue column and trying to see it, it almost appears to me as though you can actually benefit by not having come into compliance between July and now. And I'm not sure that certainly would not be what I would have intended to see happen.
I'll explain it real quickly here. These three are for abandonment. So they are more or less equal to one right here.
Okay, Winters was an abandonment also.
Winters was an abandonment.
Okay, and it's pretty clear, you're right.
And she came into compliance September 20th.
Got it.
A few months later, if you came into compliance and you were abandoning, you're going to owe $5 more.
Got it.
And then one thing I want to point out is in our evaluation process, for Robinson, during my presentation, I point out Robinson has the only two commercial properties that have come before you. When we did our evaluation, you're seeing his costs are the same as someone with a single family home. And that was due to ease of analysis and bringing it before you. Mr. Robinson's actual cost for connecting this property is actually almost $15,000.
Is that the Osprey or the Lake?
That's for trenching in the pipe.
That's right. For trenching in pipe. I don't know. It's probably for the Osprey, which needs a new tank. Okay. I'm guessing, though. And then for 03, or 077-200-03, it was closer to $6,000.
Yeah, it sounds like you got it right for the tank.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any further questions?
Scott, on your chart, and you mentioned date 12/31. I'm trying to assess the construction season of these additional people. Given the weather changes, is there a hope that they can seek compliance this year, or by default, are they going to fall into next year in the construction zone?
Well, according to Mr. Robinson's contractor, he's supposed to be done next week. I don't see a problem with that. And the abandonment process is pretty fast. So I see no problem with these, what we're looking at, five remaining properties here before you that are still out of compliance, coming into compliance this season. They have enough time, they have enough weather. Last year, they could have worked throughout the year.
Just wanted to know. Thank you.
We need to address the documents that came in late and either accept them into the record or not. So there's a letter from Laurel Winters. And then there's the memorandum, and I would recommend that we allow both of them to come in.
I agree.
Yeah. And make a ruling on it.
Both documents are entered into the record.
Okay.
I'll push on then to call for testimony by discharge. Thank you. Call for presentation from other interested persons. Any further comments?
Just as a closing, this is Lori Kemper again for the record. I do think there is value in imposing penalties on these properties. It has proven to be effective, I think, in the past at Stones Vanguard and other places to make sure that people take the board's prohibition seriously and they do reach compliance. And I know that in some cases, as Scott mentioned earlier, that if you impose a penalty on a property and the individual does not pay that penalty, we can turn that into a lien on the property so that in a sale situation or at some point in the future, that penalty can be paid at that time. And that has, I think we did that in the Stone Sanctuary subdivision on at least one property.
I'm sorry, I have a question I should have asked before. But the people who we lost when the property was transferred, that we had given those to, have we lost them for this process as
the,
well?
The individuals that moved away that sold their property?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that in most cases, I mean, I'm not aware of any lack of disclosure. You know, when I'm, in other words, when individuals sell within the Eagle Lake, within the Spalding Tract, people would know that they're, obviously the sewer system's been there for 5 years, so they know that there is a sewer system and that they don't have a connection to it. And as Scott mentioned, they are paying the assessment, the taxes on their taxes, as well as monthly operation and maintenance fees.
No, I just was looking for the life lesson that would emerge from all this, and I've now found it.
Care to share it with us?
Sell and run.
You know, a lot of people did that previously. I mean, the water board has, you know, been present there since 1984. So a lot of people made those decisions previously, but others, and Mr. Neal is one of them, stole his property on the lakefront on the Strand, and, you know, there's value. And obviously there's been, they've all enjoyed appreciation of the property based on the sewer system being there, so. Even though there's also been a depreciation, just you know, nationwide, but you know, that's where we are.
Well, the next proposed action is to close the hearing, and we shall go into closed session. Board is coming out of closed session regarding agenda items 5 through 8. We did consider all items. We did deliberate on them. Direction was given to staff to. Could you?
Sure. We're going to the board gave advisory staff their decision, and we're going to write findings to support it, so it's continued. They'll adopt it tomorrow because we need the time in order to do that tonight.
So this item is continued till tomorrow.
Well, we wanted to tell you, particularly the members of the prosecution team, that we recognize that the action that we discussed taking and are proposing to take potentially is going to, you may find it frustrating. And it's really important that you understand, that the result is not a reflection on your work or yourselves or your effort or your integrity or anything personal that has anything to do with you. Speaking for myself only, because of my background, I understand fully why you will find or could potentially find the results to be frustrating and a little disconcerting. But speaking for myself here with a different hat and a different function, it is amazing how different things look when you change hats. I'll just throw that out parenthetically. I felt that we were put in an untenable position from the get-go in this matter, because the original $16,000 figure was a figure that I couldn't find any way that I could personally justify. And I understand that that figure comes from the formula and from the enforcement policy, which you didn't write, that you have to follow when you make your proposals, your recommendations to us. On the other hand, it's difficult then to find a rational process to go through if your starting point is something that I think everybody here found to just not be something that could be embraced. And I really would hope that somehow or another, through conversations about this when it's finally finished tomorrow, can find a way that we not end up in this position again. I think that it's clear to me that the enforcement policy just wasn't thought of to deal with individual homeowners in a development tract in Lassen County. And the results just bore no relationship to their circumstances. And I think that's something that we're going to have to figure out how we work through in the future, and how we can better give you a sense, sort of, I guess, of, you know, kind of what our expectations are, and that we can find tools that can do things more quickly, where we can get something out to people and get something back more quickly. This is just difficult for everybody, and I just want to thank you, because I know you worked hard on this, and I want you to know that work was appreciated by the board, and again, I know that you may be frustrated by it, but you know, continue to understand that you have our support, and we believe in what you're doing, regardless of what you might think tomorrow morning.
Any further comments?
Well, there were some other lessons that we talked about in closed session, such as attaching. No, I could. I may get this wrong, but you know, we were concerned about the people who got out of the fine by selling the property, and that we're starting over again with the new owners, and that somehow the fine, the penalty has to follow the property and not the property owner. So that, you know, there's that was another lesson that we learned. Were there others?
We talked a little about the local governments that be stepping up to the plate and wish they could do more in terms of responsibility and ordinances and other things, and not put the entire burden to the regional board for compliance, but they bear some responsibility.
Well, I think we've continued these four items to tomorrow, and I see the next agenda items are set for 7 o'clock this evening. Let's go ahead to closed session.
It's notice for tomorrow.
Well, it's closed session, so
you can change.
Yeah, that's okay to change.
Can we do that?
So we have to announce what we're going into closed session for. So it's
personnel matters and...
Yeah, it's just personnel.
We're going into closed session for
personnel. K, for item 14K.